We begin our service with a prayer to our Lord and God. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you are the only true and living God. By your grace, you called us to be your children and have invited us to come before you in worship and praise. Grant that we may worship you in spirit and in truth, so that our worship is pleasing in your sight. Let your saving grace work in our hearts and cause us to grow in our faith and love for you. May you strengthen us for the week to come, that in all things we may live as your dear children and give all glory to your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please rise. We follow the order of service that's printed out for us in the service folder, and we begin this church service in the name of the Triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we confess that we are sinful by nature and have sinned against you in our thoughts, words, and actions. We have not loved you above all things. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Have mercy on us, and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us our sins. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence, we may approach the throne to find grace to help in time of need. In the joy and peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Jesus Christ, by your victory you have broken the power of the evil one. Fill our hearts with joy and peace as we look with hope to that day when every creature in heaven and earth will acclaim you King of Kings and Lord of Lords to your unending praise and glory. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Both of our readings from Scripture, the Old Testament and the New, point us to the end. Jesus comes, the clouds above. The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 51, verses 4 to 6. And there the prophet speaks of how the earth is just going to grow old and like a garment. Well, Scripture also further reveals in the New Testament that when Jesus returns, he's going to burn this earth and the skies above with a fervent heat. Well, unless the kids be worried about that, when Jesus comes from the clouds above, he'll lift us up and we'll meet him in the air. Isaiah. The Lord says, "Listen to me, my people, and give ear to me, O my nation, for law will proceed from me, and I will make my justice rest as a light of the peoples. My righteousness is near. My salvation has gone forth, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands will wait upon me, and on my arm they will trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look on the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish away like smoke. The earth will grow old like a garment, and those who dwell in it will die in it in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will not be abolished." Second reading is from Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 to 7. "Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth." I want you to pay close attention to this reading as it speaks of Jesus with different terms. They have special meaning to us as our Lord and Savior. "Grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits or sevenfold spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Here ends our scripture readings. Praise to you, O Christ. Please rise. We join in confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the next hymn, hymn 663, Rise My Soul to Watch and Pray. And please note that it continues on the next page. Thank you. Please stand. Grace and peace be unto you from our Heavenly Father and our Savior Jesus. Amen. Those words of our Lord that we'll be considering this morning are taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 35 to 40, where Jesus says to us, "Let your waist be girded, and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." So far our text. Please be seated. In the name of our Savior Jesus, whose second and final coming we look forward with eager anticipation as children of the Heavenly Father, dear fellow redeemed. One of the joyful experiences in this temporal world is a wedding. This event gives us joy because in the sacred institution of marriage, God unites a man and a woman in the holy estate of matrimony for a lifelong union. Following the wedding service, ordinarily there's a wedding banquet where the newly formed marriage is celebrated. Besides partaking in a festive meal, well, family and friends are there to share how joyful, how thankful they are that God united this man and this woman together in the holy estate of matrimony. Being mindful of how important and how very special the wedding celebration is to us, Jesus made use of this occasion to picture in a symbolic way the future blissful life in heaven. He uses the familiar scene of the happy celebration of the closest and most intimate union that's known among people to draw our attention to the ultimate and the perfect relationship that we'll have in heaven with the fellow saints and with God himself, a relationship that will last throughout all eternity. When comparing the earthly wedding celebration and the heavenly one, there's a significant difference. While with the earthly wedding, we have the day and the time when it will begin, whereas with the heavenly wedding banquet, it comes at the end of the world, God hasn't told us when, the day, and the time when they would finally arrive. And there's a good reason for this. Being aware of our spiritual weaknesses, he knows. If we knew when he's coming, we'd be tempted to waste that time until he finally comes. We might be tempted to give way to our flesh and the world, ways of the world until just before he comes, then we can turn back to him and repent. Well, the Lord knows us, and he's not going to tempt us with that. So he hasn't told us when he's going to come. There's a warning sound in our text with Jesus' use of an illustration of a thief who would break into our house to rob and plunder. He said, "But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into." Since thieves don't let us know ahead of time when they plan to break into our house and steal from us, as homeowners, we always have to be ready. Since we do not know the final day or hour of this world, that when it comes to the end, we need to keep a close and careful watch over our spiritual health and welfare. It's eternally critical to do this so that we're not found unprepared and we don't lose our part in that heavenly wedding banquet. We want to be prepared all the time. He could come at any moment. He could come right now, or tonight, or tomorrow. We don't know. But he wants us always to be prepared. So to that end, we are found waiting and well prepared for the coming of our Lord on Judgment Day. We find Jesus giving us this exhortation. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. So these two pictures are portraying for us readiness, preparedness for the day of the Lord. The second of these pictures, that of having one's lamp burning when the master returned for us for the wedding, is very much like the imagery of the parable of the 10 virgins. You may recall it. In fact, that was the Sunday school lesson this last week for the children. It talks about 10 virgins. They're waiting for the bridegroom to come to escort the bride and her friends to the wedding banquet. Now, according to Jewish custom, they would ordinarily get married in the evening hour. So you need a light to shine the way to the banquet hall. Now, there were 5 wise virgins and there were 5 foolish virgins. The 5 wise ones, they made sure that they had enough oil for their lamp to keep on burning so they were ready when the bridegroom finally came and they could accompany him to the banquet. The 5 foolish virgins, they did not bring along extra oil. And so when the bridegroom finally came, they were not prepared. They couldn't accompany him to the banquet. Now, the 5 wise virgins said, well, you better go and buy some. And while they were gone, the bridegroom came. They went to the banquet. The 5 foolish ones come knocking on the door. And the door was shut to them. They couldn't enter. They weren't ready and well prepared. The burning lamp is a picture of our possessing a true and living faith in Jesus Christ. This simple, basic truth is of absolute importance if we're going to be able to accompany Jesus to the heavenly wedding banquet when he finally comes. We, as we learn from little on, it's through faith in Jesus' shed blood and righteousness that we're enabled to lay hold of the gift of eternal life. In order that our lamp of faith might be kept burning, our Lord has provided us with an ample supply of spiritual oil. He's placed the Word of God into our hands for us to read personally in our homes and share devotions with our family on a regular basis. He has brought us together into a Christian fellowship so that we can hear the preaching and teaching of God's Word. We can discuss God's Word with fellow believers, all so that our understanding is broadened and it causes our belief in the teachings of God to grow and to flourish and to last until the very end. When we hear Jesus telling us, let your lamps be burning, he's reminding us and he's encouraging us to have a diligent and faithful use of his word and his sacrament, so that saving faith can be kept vibrant and alive in our hearts. So then, as we hear Jesus say, let your lamp be burning, we have to ask ourselves the question, are we numbered among the 5 wise virgins or the 5 foolish ones? Haven't we been regular in using God's word in our home, in our church life? Has it been high on our priority list for us to take advantage of the different occasions for us to gather together around God's word? Well, that's a very important thing for us to consider. Have we always been using God's word as we should to keep our faith alive? In addition to this self-examination, there's another important matter that needs our attention. It's our response. Our response to God's word. When the law of God lays bare the sin in our life, how do we respond? Do we, in each and every time, are we willing to confess that sin? Acknowledge it with sincere sorrow? Has there been a transgression in our past that we thought, this is too bad, this is so grievous that God would never forgive me of this sin? Well, if either of these two spiritual problems were to be found in us, it's crucial that they be resolved with God's help. The lamp is found burning in our hearts when the Holy Spirit works repentance and faith in our hearts. That faith that believes God has forgiven us of all our sins, no matter how many, no matter how grievous or terrible they are, they're all been paid for. I get old. I am old. And sometimes I share stories of the past. Well, if you've heard this before, okay. It's a story about my father. He was a pastor, a professor. He taught me in seminary. And he was on his deathbed, and the family came and visited him, and I would share God's word with him. And one of them, the part of God's word was God throwing our sins into the depths of the ocean so that God no longer sees them. And my father felt a sigh of relief. Now I'm assured all my sins have been cast into the ocean, and they don't separate me from God or heaven. This was a professor, a pastor, troubled by his sins even to the very end, needing God's word to be reassured of God's forgiveness. The other picture Jesus uses in our text that shows a ready spirit in the day of the Lord is a let your waist be girded. What does that mean? Well, we have to keep in mind the kind of dress that the Jews had in those days. They had outer garments that were long and flowing, like this. When they would go on a journey, they would pull them up and tie a belt around their waist so that it wouldn't trip them up when they were walking down the road. They also did the same thing when they went on the field to work. They girded their waists. This is what the children of Israel did when the Lord says, now get ready, I'm going to deliver you from Egypt, and you won't know exactly when it's going to come, but I'll tell you. So have your waist girded, be ready to leave at a moment's notice. In a symbolic way, this pictures for us the Lord's instruction to be ready for our departure from this world at any time. It is pointing out, look out for those hindrances that can trip you up in your faith. Such hindrances could include the cares and pleasures of this world that preoccupy our time, attention, and affection, to the point we don't give time and attention to our spiritual welfare. Other hindrances to guard, we need to guard against is this worldly philosophy. Listen to your heart. Listen to your emotions. If your heart says it's okay, it's okay. If you think it's going to make you happy, go and do it. Well, this is a very deceptive thing. The heart, the sinful heart, is a very deceptive thing. It can convince us that something is okay when it really isn't. So that's a stumbling block we need to guard against. Another likely meaning behind the exhortation to gird our waist is that of devoting ourselves to the service of the Lord in His kingdom. Gird your waist and be prepared to work hard for the Lord. Well, how you been doing? And getting ready, being prepared. As sinful human beings, we realize we haven't always been so faithful in keeping God's commandments and in serving Him in His kingdom. But thank God we have a merciful Lord and Savior who has paid for all those sins. And every time we come to Him on bended knees and a penitent and believing heart, He assures us, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Our scripture text not only speaks of us devoting our lives to Him, but it also speaks of Jesus serving us in heaven. What would He be doing serving us in heaven? Now let's read what He says. Blessed are those servants whom the Master, when He comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that He will gird Himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. Ordinarily, when the Master comes home, it's the servants that wait on Him. But Jesus says, when you come into heaven, I'm going to be serving you. He's going to be serving us by blessing us with a glorious, blissful, and perfect existence in that wondrous new world. And then we, in turn, will be willing to serve Him night and day throughout all eternity. When we think of what Jesus, our Lord and Savior, did lovingly for us in service to us during His earthly life to pay for our redemption, don't we have a desire to show our love for Him by serving Him, by doing all that we can for His kingdom? Spread the word. Do all we can to serve Him. So as we look forward to the day when Jesus will come to usher in that heavenly wedding banquet, where we'll be celebrating a perfect life that lasts forever, may the Lord help us to keep a close and careful watch over our souls, to make sure that our faith is nourished and strengthened and preserved through our use of God's Word and sacraments, so that when He comes, our lamps are found burning brightly and will accompany the bridegroom to the heavenly wedding feast. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the next hymn, Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying.
Jesus.
O Jesus, our only Savior from sin, keep us from building our hopes on this earthly life with its sins and sorrows, its shallow pleasures, and its imperfect treasures. Father, give each of us an earnest longing for that day when we shall be with you, which is far better. In the midst of the troubles and uncertainties of this life, let not our hearts be filled with fearfulness and anxiety, but give us a calm trust that calls on you for help in every time of need. Having placed all in your hands, ourselves, our troubles, our cares, our needs, our fears, our failures, our sins, our very future, give us the strength and courage to go on and meet one by one the battles of life, never doubting that you will make everything turn out for our good. Trusting in you, O Lord, we ask you to save us from all our foes who oppress us and from all things that afflict us. As long as we are earthbound, waiting for the blessed hour of our final redemption, supply us with the Holy Spirit and his grace, that we may adorn our life of good works, giving ample proof of our faith and of the love we have for you. While we journey here as pilgrims and strangers in a world hostile to you and our faith, guard and keep us safe from all evil that may threaten our bodies or souls. Keep us each step of the way, lest we yield to temptation. While of necessity we must be involved in earthly tasks and labors, let us not neglect our higher calling as laborers in our Heavenly Father's vineyard, proclaiming repentance and remission of sins to others. Take care of all our needs, but especially forgive our sins. Do not count them against us on that final day when all must appear before your throne of judgment. Grant that having trusted in you to the end, we'll be found acceptable, clothed in the righteousness that you have merited for us. In that day, give each of us a crown of glory to wear forever in heaven. Hear us for our precious Savior's namesake, and in whose name we also join to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please be seated. We continue with the final hymn, For All the Saints. Thank you. Good morning. I'd like to share some announcements with you, some that are in the bulletin and some that are not. Our choir will rehearse after the service today. Thanksgiving Day service, 10 a.m. And on December 1st will be the children's practice at 11, and also putting up the Christmas decorations. There's a letter that was shared with the parents of the SSLS, letting them know the status of our financial situation and the prospect for a holding school next year. Also note that the teachers are trying to reduce the number of library books. Some of you may have loaned them to the school. Talk to the teachers about which ones they are, so if you want to take them home. There are other books available for parents and grandparents, and whoever would like to have those books, check with the teachers. And some announcements that are not in the bulletin. This comes from Pastor Caleb Schaller that we had extended a call to. Dear brothers and sisters of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, after much prayerful consideration, I have concluded that our Lord desires me to remain shepherding his flock at Messiah Lutheran at this time. So I'm returning your call. My heart goes out to all of you in California, and I will diligently pray to the Lord of the harvest to send a shepherd to you soon. We may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Be encouraged in this truth and encourage each other as you patiently wait for our Lord's will and his return. Confident in the care of our King, Pastor Caleb Schaller. So with that, there will be a voters meeting that will be held on the first Sunday in December after the services. So that's December 1st. Also an update on Pastor Nolting. On Friday, he had heart surgery where they replaced a valve. And it was a successful surgery. It was a bovine heart valve. They didn't tell him whether it was an Angus or not, but it works. Also, Nolan Gullard is celebrating his 7th birthday this week. So this might be a good time to sing a happy birthday to him. May God in his grace be with you always.